Emptied a pecan. My granny used to tell me stories about that. Emptying the pecan.
Emptying the pecan. Yeah, they peed in them at nighttime so they didn't have to go out to the outhouse in the winter in the dark.
Could you imagine waking up having to blow mud? Like bad mud.
See, if you was poor, you had a pecan. That's where the saying didn't have a pot to piss in.
Yeah.
You had to pee in a can instead of a pot.
A pecan.
That's where that saying come from. They ain't got a pot to piss in.
So he pissed in the cold.
So you kept your old can and peed in the can instead of your pot.
Could you imagine trying to blow mud into a can?
I wouldn't. I'd go to the outhouse.
I'd have me a damn 5-gallon bucket somewhere.
They didn't make them back then.
We'd have a nice wooden box with a hole
in it. The crap box.
The shit box. The shitting log. Somebody has violated the trust of the shitting log. That was a video I'd seen with that. It was like a medieval
You showed it to us. I remember it.
Somebody has violated the trust of the shitting log.
They ended up killing her too, didn't they?
They,
they stoned
them.
Her.
Tuckoo.
Well, foot. Y'all ready?
Yep.
I'm ready if you're ready.
Let's roll with it.
You're listening to Coon Hunting Confidentials on the Houndstooth Podcasting Network, where we explore anything and everything coon hunting and listen to coon hunting stories from across the nation that include cryptids, the paranormal, the unexplained, and a whole hell of crazy. I'm Daniel Felker, your host. Join me and my buddies, Dustin Faulkner and Ryan James, as we explore into the confidential side of coon hunting. Warning, some material may not be suitable for children.
Yo, yo, yo. What is going on, everybody?
Ski. Yee.
We got another great episode of, well, I say it's great. We're going to call it great. We don't know yet. We're just now getting into it.
It might just be average.
Might. Who knows? Got a lot of things we can talk about.
Slightly below.
Let's see where we want to start off with. I'm kind of tuckered out. I've been working on building Luna a dog kennel all day, well, most of today, to put her outside because
she's bouncing off the walls.
She's a terror in the house. She she terrorizes Sophie, my miniature wiener dog, and
the long puppy.
Sophie can stand her own, and she's getting payback for all that time she aggravated my boxer, but she can't take much more of it. She has to get away because that feist is wide open.
Yeah, I ain't sure how people keep them in the house because everyone I have been around has been nothing but energy.
Oh, she stayed out in my doggone big pen most of the day today outside while I was.
When I let Lieutenant Dan loose and he runs by their pen, they're like little piranhas or brim or something. They're like barking at him, running one end of the pen to the other. Now they going to get his ass.
They going to be little squirrel getters because they all rambunctious. I think they will anyway. Got high hopes.
But in order to truly crush one's spirits, you must first lift them very, very high.
Well, we hope they ain't no spirits being crushed in the squirrel dog. And but when the fall comes, oh, with us and Dustin, because he got one or two out there that possibly
got a whole tribe of them.
Start whether he still got Darla or not. By the end, by squirrel season.
We don't know. She is a mouthy son of a buddy. She woke me up every day last week. She woke me up at 2:15 barking at something. Mm. And you're talking about mad. Mm. Like, that ain't no good way to be woke up, especially when you come out and you can't see nothing. Like, if they'd have been something standing there, it'd be more understandable. But I didn't see nothing.
So we gotta talk about this, cause I told Ryan on the way over here, I said we gotta mention this. I said cause Dustin don't have very many mental slip ups like this.
We're gonna say brain farts.
Well, okay, brain farts. And so this past, what was that? What day was that? Friday? Thursday, Friday of last week?
Friday.
Friday of last week. Ryan and I, myself, was in Newberry, and I was on the phone with my wife, and Dustin's calling in and beeping in, so I couldn't take his call. And the next thing I know, Ryan gets on the phone and has a conversation with somebody. And unbeknownst to me, tell them how this phone conversation went, because I wasn't on it.
All right. I get a phone call Friday. Me and my fiance just finished eating lunch, climbing back in the truck, and it's from somebody in Union. And Union's about 45 minutes away from my house. Every bit of 45 minutes.
Yeah, it is 45.
To get to where this is, because I know where it is now, but at the time, I was drawing a blank. And this woman goes, "Is this Dusty Faulkner?" And I'm like, "This is Dustin Faulkner, yes, ma'am. Well, we got a dog over here that's got your name and phone number on its collar." And I said, My name, my phone number on this dog's collar. "Yeah, little white and black dog." And I was like, "Ma'am, I don't have no dog in Union." I said, "I hadn't had a dog in Union in about 2 or 3 years. And I couldn't tell you the last time I was in Union." "Well, we got to do something. He's chasing my chickens." And I'm just like, "Well, shoot him." If he's chasing chickens in the state of South Carolina, he is harassing produce, and you have the right to kill him.
You better than I am, ma'am. I just killed him.
I mean, I appreciate you calling me, but you got to do what you got to do. I mean, if he was chasing my chickens, I'm shooting him. And I hang up. So I start calling around, trying to figure out why I have a collar in Union. And I called Daniel, and he didn't answer. And I called Ryan right after that, and he answers. And as me and Ryan's having our conversation, I remember.
I was like, "Man, you ain't got it." I said, "Didn't you have a black and white dog? I thought I gave it to somebody, though."
No, like, I did give it to somebody, but it got killed. It got poisoned and killed, so I didn't think nothing about the collar over there. And Ryan, and he's like, "Well, maybe he put," and he put his collar on his dog, and there's one of my best friends. I mean, so I'm like, "Oh no, that's Scott's dog, and I done told this woman to shoot it." I got to go, so I hang up with Ryan. I call Scott. Well, Scott works night shift, so he was taking a nap and didn't answer the phone. So I was like, "Oh golly, what do I do?" So I called the woman back real quick, and I'm like, "I hope you ain't shot a dog yet, because I do know whose it is, or I have an idea whose it is." And I go, "Well, did it have prick ears?" And she goes, "Well, he's done run off now. Let me ask my husband." And she hollered out to the yard, "Hey, Joe John," whatever his name was. It was two names.
"Hey, dumbass."
"Hey, Billy Bob, did that dog have prick ears?" "Yeah, I think he did." So I'm like, "Yeah." I said, "I know whose dog that is." She said, "Well, whose dog is it?" And I tell her it's my buddy Scott's. And she goes, "Well, that's my brother-in-law. He don't live but two houses up the road." And I'm like, "And you ain't never seen his dog?" I was like, "Well, please don't shoot it."
What,
like,
is the world coming to?
She's like, "Well, I'll call Scott's wife named Christy. I'll call Christy. We'll get it took care of her." I said, "All right." Well, then I go into work, and I'm asking Scott about it.
Yeah, this is the part that even makes it even worse.
I'm asking Scott about it, and he's like, "They better not shoot my dog." I was like, "Bo, if it'd have been me, if they'd have took my advice, your dog would be dead."
I told Dan, I was like, "It'd been messed up. She'd been on for that." "All right, honey," he said, "shoot it."
But
that's messed up.
That is messed up.
But it turns out they ride four-wheelers by this dog's pen all the time. And it barks at them every time they go by, and they just don't. I guess they don't even look over there to look at it no more.
And this just ain't a dog. It's a very good squirrel
this
dog.
This is a very good squirrel dog.
It's not just a dog.
Like, he had a heck of a season with this dog this year, like, and not hunting very much. Like, this is a very good squirrel dog. Like, I would breed to this dog. But dog didn't get shot, and it all worked out so far. Yeah.
I asked him about it last night at work to see if it was his dog, because I forgot to talk to you about it yesterday. And he said, yeah, it was his dog. He was like, but it was my daggone sister-in-law.
Yeah, I know. That's what makes it even worse. Like,
so
family, don't even keep up with what you got going on.
Can we give him a shout-out? Say Scott Simmons.
I think I did, yeah.
I don't know if he still listens or if he's sporadic.
He don't listen. But he's my boy. He rode all the way to Kentucky with me on a doggone 24-hour notice to get River. Didn't even think nothing about it. Like,
I'm getting in the truck.
He did. And we drove up there. We got off third shift that night. And we drove up there, talked to the fella, and turned around and come halfway back. But going up there, my GPS sent us through a demolition zone. Like, I ain't telling you no lie, dude. There was signs up talking about dynamite and blasting. And we're going down a dirt road in Kentucky. Ain't got a clue where we at, but I was running about 70 because I didn't want to be near no darn demolition going on.
I feel you there.
But.
Mountainous?
No. Well, yeah, it was the east side of Kentucky, so yeah, it was a little mountainous. But I couldn't get back there if I had to now.
Scott, we used to coon hunt together some way back in the day. That was pre-2009, 2010. Especially when I first started went to work at Aston. Mm-hmm. He had a dog named Shot, and another one named Henry. And I want to say Henry was off of Hardwood. I know he had one off of Hardwood Henry. Mm-hmm. And that's the dog that Jeff Rickliffe used to hunt. And actually won the senior showdown with. And
I thought he was off of Hickory Nut Harry.
One of them, Shot, or one of them, or Henry. One of them is off of Henry. I want to say Henry was named after his daddy. But Shot might have been off. Shot was older. He would have been the older one.
I thought he had one off of Hickory Nut Harry.
Because he had one that was up in age when me and him first started hunting and stuff. But, anyway, segue on to something else.
Everything worked out. It's all good.
All for the good.
Dustin about ended his dog's career.
I did. I didn't about end nothing. I just give somebody some advice on what I would do.
Hey, before we got to talk about the TOC. Got to. The Tournament of Champions.
This is old news,
but I'm just saying, because people don't tune into us for like up to date news in the coon world.
No, because I don't keep up with it.
But the final three of the TOC, that final cast was probably about, if you were paying attention to it, I seen on Saturday night when I got off work at midnight. I watched some of it when I went on break at 9 o'clock.
Say that, sir.
They turned loose at 9:17. I had to be off break at 9:20. So, damn. So, when I got off work, I looked on Facebook and there was already – I seen who won. So, I didn't get to watch the play-by-play or all the whole thing on YouTube Live. But I went back Sunday night after work, and that final three cast was pretty exciting.
Did it make you sticker pick?
No, it was not.
Wasn't that exciting?
It gets down to a competition coon hunt, a 2-hour competition coon hunt, think about this. You had Dustin Weed, PKC, all-time money winning right now.
Okay.
And
right.
He's hunting a dog called Money, Maxed Out Mad Money.
What you gonna call
the dog out? There's another dog called Freak of Nature. I'm pretty sure that dog was off Frogger, I think. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And then you got Wipeout Z.
Mm.
So Wipeout Z also happens to be the all-time winningest dog in PKC. And Dustin Weed predominantly won all that money with that dog, Wipeout Z. So now another dude for Heather Island is hunting that dog, handling that dog, and Dustin Weed is handling this dog called Out. So he's going into this final three cast knowing two out of the three dogs as good as the back of his hand. Like, he should know both of them.
Here's my question with all this. Is Heather Island the Illuminati of coon hunt? And do they have ditty parties?
I hope not. I really hope not. So that whole final cast. Now, I'm not gonna lie. I didn't watch all the commentary. I skipped through and I watched some, listened to what they had to say, but a lot. I skipped through till I come across Alan Gingrich, and then I knew he was giving the updates. Then I'd pay attention.
What has he?
Well, it was a tale of 2 hours. After around the first hour or so, you got freaking nature at like 325 minus. Out is at like 250 minus. And Wipeout Z, I think, is sitting at 275. I forgot where he was at, but he's sitting at plus. He may have been at 2. I don't remember. So, when it gets down to the last few minutes, freaking nature, he's already done. He's out of contention. He was sitting at 325 minus, and when he got treed again, he was like a mile and something through there. And the dude actually did the good handler thing to do and did not call his dog treed because he knew it wasn't going to get him out of the hole, and he let them dogs compete. Because, let's see, Z treed a coon. Z had took minus, out treed a coon, and then they'd have to go back and watch it on YouTube. Right down in the last, under 5 minutes to go, Z gets treed. No, he had to tree because there was more than 6 minutes left because they put the stationary on him. There was like 7 minutes. Stationary would have been 5, so it had to have been more than 5. It had 6 or 7 minutes to go. He gets treed. Well, then out gets treed again, and Dustin Weed don't really have time to gamble on if he's going to treat his dog or not, because he don't got time for them to go score Z's tree to see if it's going to be plus or minus or circle. So he trees out and blood like 2 minutes left to go in the hunt. Z's tree gets circled, out has another coon. So in the last hour of the hunt, he come back from 250 minus and won that hunt in the last 2 minutes for $50,000.
Must be nice.
Spoiler alert, in case y'all didn't know.
I mean, this is going to be like, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks afterwards?
Spoiler.
And I don't know how many people actually go back.
The fella in Australia.
Do what?
That's the only people that don't know about this shit. It's probably the fella in Australia.
And I was going to bring Mr. Ian up, too. You had some. Oh, dang, dude. What kind of video are you watching? He's over here scrolling. I see a boat going sideways.
I watched somebody jump a. I ain't going to call it a beaver dam, nothing like that. It's like a grass flat with a mud boat. He almost wipes out, but he makes it.
He saves it.
He saves it.
So, congratulations to Dustin Weed and Maxed Out Mad Money. I think that's the dog's name. So, y'all got anything?
Well, what about our homeboy Steven that was at the TOC?
Oh, yeah. Steven went up there and got invited to judge.
We ain't got to listen to
his podcast.
Actually,
I think he's on the new podcast.
I started it on the way back from church, but I hadn't get very far into it. Maybe 10 minutes.
We listened to it. Started it on the way over here, and we got about the same distance.
I think he
about
judged
10 minutes. Yeah, he just pretty much made a vacation out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Lucky dog. Oh, we ran into Stedman over there at the greenhouses. Had a good about 20-minute conversation with him the other day.
Shoot, maybe 30.
Maybe it might have been. We talked about all kinds of
stuff. Away from.
We had a pretty good conversation. We need to go hunting with him.
We do need to do that. I'm in need for a good schooling to educate me a little bit more, because every time I go with him, I learn something. Just a little something. But.
Just a tip.
Oh, Lord. Dang, Dustin. Hey, man.
I don't know why that just come into my head.
I tell you, speaking of something to come into your head, on the Gone to the Dogs podcast the other week, I was listening to it, and I don't know which episode. It might be about two episodes back. Mr. Steve, well, it wasn't talking about us when he said this. There's two different things, but it was in the same episode, because he was talking about people tuning in to us. He said you could be listening about Bigfoot, them boys down up there in South Carolina or something like that. So he gave us a little shout out there again. But
thank you, Mr. Steve.
Appreciate you.
But then there was one part, he said something, and a line popped in my head immediately. Because he said something, he was like, I ain't smoked no left-handed cigarettes, I swear. And the thought that come in my head was this.
Say, man, you got a joint?
No, not on me, man.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
So I was like, that was the first thing that popped in my head when he said that. And I was like,
I want to go hunt with Mr. Steve, too.
Or do you want him to, you still want him to cut your dog loose?
I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah. We'll let him cut the squeeze loose this time.
I will. Christen him.
We need to gather up and go hunting. Turn a pack of plot dogs loose through the woods. We might let you take your walker down.
Might. We can't. That'd ruin the party.
Yeah, it might embarrass him.
You never know. I might get embarrassed.
No, you got a black dog to bring, though. We'll bring him.
We'll hunt a black dog with the plot.
Yep.
So the walker.
There to be different.
Y'all don't shun the black and tans or blue ticks? Mm-mm. Just the walkers?
Yep, pretty much.
Just shun them.
I don't shun nothing, bro.
Like the Amish.
There's a half walker out there in the yard.
Now, they ain't all terrible looking and whatnot.
They have their place, I ain't going to lie. I mean, that's why they do all their winning, because they have their place. I mean.
They do. They got their place. I thoroughly enjoy them. I have had some walker dogs that.
Oh, I've hunted some that I've hunted with some that I would not feed, like,
yeah,
ever. I'd feed them something, but it wouldn't be no food.
I will say I have been lucky. I have been lucky over the last 10 years that I haven't had any coals.
I ain't gonna go as far to say that now.
I went from psycho to echo.
There was a few coals in there. I felt like, yeah, no, oh yeah, oh yeah.
I went from psycho to echo.
Big cat was a cool.
Big
buddy.
Cat, cowboy.
Oh, no, that wasn't mine though.
Okay, I was about to say big cat was a cool.
Nah, that dog was a different story. That dog treed coons, and over the course of summer, went from that season treeing coons, summertime, bam. Fall comes.
He went from being 80% accurate to being
0%
accurate.
0%
he didn't 3-1 that fall.
Anyway.
But anyhow.
So, oh, man, I'm trying to think. I'm all the time thinking of stuff that's like to bring up in a podcast.
You're going to have to start taking your pocket notebook so you can write your ideas down.
I'm going to have to write them down so I can remember like topics to talk about, because I listen to so much different stuff and just all kind of crazy stuff that goes through my head. I know I'm tired today, though. This is going to be a short and sweet episode, I think, because we're lucky we actually getting together late on a Wednesday night. Cause
we were supposed to be bantering a bunch and making a long episode, wouldn't we?
We did that. We'll see what the downloads do on a short 45 minute episode. What would the downloads look like on those?
Probably about the same.
I did hear something a guy talking the other day. He said that he tends to think or see, I don't know how, what statistics he pulled up, but it seems like after the hour and a half mark, they kind of like drop off.
That seems about right. I'd go ahead and tell you, there's a bunch of whores that I listen to us talk again, and then I just mark it as played. I was there for the conversation. I listened to something different.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, let's get into this one.
You ready to get into it?
Word.
All I'm going to say is, I can't. I've been debating on if I want to give dude a hard time or not. I'm not going to put your name, your last name out there. Because in this conversation, you told
me. But you are an LSU fan.
You told me you was an Arkansas fan, but on your Facebook page, you got on LSU clothing. And I'm feeling like if I put your last name out there, there's some Arkansas fans that's probably going to be unrelenting toward you and probably like, because y'all, that would be like saying that somebody's
a
Gamecock fan but wearing Clemson.
Daniel?
Negative.
I seen him with a Clemson hat on one time.
I know that didn't happen.
We're going to have to get a picture of him in our travels, Dustin. We're going to have to catch him sleeping or something.
Mm. And put something Clemson on him.
Might draw you a little tiger paw on the side of your face.
My daddy likes Georgia and South Carolina, but when they play each other, he's a South Carolina fan. But anytime other than that, he's pulling for Georgia, too. So
that sounds like
maybe they got something going on like that down there in Louisiana.
Maybe. I don't really care about none of them.
Please. Don't know when I'm going to pay my bills around here.
I'm more worried about when the Catawba worms is out. Stuff
hey,
like that.
Have you been fishing yet?
Nah, we're going to Cherokee next week.
I'll be gone. Catch some trouts?
Yeah, I'll be gone. They made up my mind if I'm going to stay all week or not. But
when you going to be gone? Because we'll think about recordings. I got an idea rolling around in my head.
I'd go and stay all whole week.
I could.
I would. If I could.
Why would you not? I'm probably going up on Monday.
Your better half
going to
be with you?
Nah, from the time I was 18 till COVID hit, there was a group of men. There was a group of us, and we all went to Cherokee. And they had been doing it for 25 years before I turned 18, but you had to be 18 to go.
Reg's going?
Nah, Reg ain't come in years. So from the time I was 18 till COVID hit, we went every year, and we hadn't been since COVID. Uncle Burl passed away, and we just hadn't. So we starting it back this year. And a bunch of them retired now, so they can go through the week.
Sweet thing going to take y'all up there?
He's going.
Word.
He's coming back early, but he's going. I might come back early. I might come back late Wednesday.
He ain't kidding about this trip, because one time, Sonny, they had T-shirts made up.
Yeah, I got a T-shirt. I got a hat around here from the trip.
Like, they took that trip serious.
That's
trip. Like black people in the South family reunions. Yeah. They have T-shirts made up for them.
What do we got to do to go? What do we got to do to get a T-shirt?
Well, he ain't had T-shirts made in a few years. I think the last one we had made was in 2015.
Did y'all stay in them cabins?
Yeah, we stay in cabins.
Yeah.
Earl's been going with me since.
There's some shops to open up down there.
Have I ever told y'all about the only time I went trout fishing with them?
Never heard of it.
You went with Kevin White and them, didn't you?
And Reggie McLennan and Tim Goins. Only time I ever been trout fishing.
You fall a lot?
I fell one time.
If you're in the water, you're going to fall at some point.
Didn't nobody tell me this. It was a learning experience. Didn't nobody tell me nothing. I had on coon hunting waders.
Did you step on a yellow rock?
I stepped on a rock, and I'm talking about early, like first thing. And I'm like, come, slick, slick,
yeah.
Kaploosh.
Don't step on the yellow rock.
And I was soaking wet, and I finally perched out on a rock. in the middle of the doggone thing. I got out there with my knees rolled, like my pants pulled up to my knees. I had took my boots off, laid my doggone socks out, let them sun dry, and I just sat right there on that one rock, and I fished that one little spot the whole time.
He surrendered.
And Reggie McClendon, this sucker's decked out with the waders up to his neck with the felt bottoms, and he's going down the river like a river runs through it, and he's just, boom, and next thing I know, he's gone.
Reggie can walk the water, buddy. He can keep up with the creek. The worst time I ever had, it wasn't on that trip. Me, McLean, Earl, and we had, Kobe was like 13 at the time, but we had Chad's boy Kobe with us. And we went up there to Wahala. And it turned out it was like 22 degrees that night, and we staying in tents. And we had done made the plans before we looked at the weather. So we was going. Because I had every piece of clothing except my waders on. Stuck in this darn, the most cold sleeping bag I could find at the time. Like the lowest rated sleeping bag I could find. And I still woke up shivering all night, son. It sucked so bad. But I caught a bunch of fish. But the sleeping arrangements sucked. And it wasn't like I could just, we pulled up to this campground.
You had to walk to it.
This was like a mile hike downhill to this campground. Wasn't bad.
Screw that.
Coming back out. Golly. It was miserable.
Hey, tell them what happened to you on y'all on the river yesterday when old Chunk told me earlier today. Said y'all got a battleship.
We were sitting at this spot. And we did. We got a battleship. Man, we sitting there fishing, dude. At these rocks.
Yeah.
Look up, here comes a V-bottom boat. And he knows who it is. I ain't even going to say his name. It's an older fella. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, that's him. Well, he's got to come down through where we fishing at. So we was just both trying to hurry up and catch a fish. He caught one and was unhooking it.
Yeah.
And I was casting. Well, dude, when I looked up, dude had come down through there and then tried to cut in front of us like that. He washed into us. Boom. He was spun backwards and just boom. Lieutenant Dan and Alec about falls off the front of the damn boat. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. Well, we break loose from our anchor spot and drift back about 20 yards. Hell, he just pulled up about another five, and he anchored out. He cut us off, cuz.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, but little did he know, we done cherry picked that hole. There wasn't nothing left in it. Wasn't nothing left in it. We played stupid. We ain't caught nothing. We caught about 30 right in front of them, but they wasn't keepers, you know.
Yeah. It won't be long, they will be.
But I won't respect him no more, even though he is older. I wasn't mad about it at first.
Did
he done that shit
off
on purpose, cuz.
Yeah, he done it on
he
purpose.
He done all that on purpose. That old bump and run.
He said it's a, Alex saying it's a miracle he didn't doggone get his cut prop all up in
your
anchor.
Yeah, cut our
line.
Anchor rope and stuff, dude. It was crazy. It's a miracle he didn't knock a hole in his boat. He was in like a tin can, like one of the ones, the old V-bottom boats.
I know, there's one up there. I know what you're talking
he
about.
He was in one of them, because he was brave coming out there. I ain't going to lie, he come through some rough stuff.
He didn't care if he sank it or not.
Nah, I ain't going to care if he's sitting there fishing or not. Next time I come around that corner, I've seen him there before. I ain't been able to figure out who it is, but I know who he is now. Well, I owe him one.
You owe him one?
Usually I respect it. If there's somebody sitting there fishing, I won't go down through there and
right.
fish.
And
if he's
sitting
there,
I'm going
to pull right up where the hell I want to be at, buddy.
If they beat you to the spot, they beat you to the spot.
I'm going to say, damn, buddy, I'm sorry, my bad. I had a damn, it was a chug bug or something like that. It was a top water plug with treble hooks on it. I could throw that sun gun 150 yards, dude. I started a beaming with that sun gun. I'm sorry, buddy. Damn, my bad. Man, you right there where we's throwing. My bad.
Oh boy, I started to tell the story about that time I hooked Tony Tinsley in the head with a deep diving crankbait.
Damn, dude. I've been mad as hell at you.
I broke my line and everything. I saw that.
Damn.
It was hanging over.
Whoa, shit. Holy crap, son.
You didn't just hook him in the head when you broke the line. You set the hook in his ass and broke the line.
Yeah. Y'all surprised me to beat your ass.
He had two hooks from the treble hook. And that back one had one. That son was stretched tight. And it was stuck to his head like Velcro.
Beat the piss out of you
with my fishing rod and my damn trouble.
I'd have whipped you like a child.
Boy, I didn't mean to, dude.
I don't care.
I didn't mean to.
You wouldn't mean to no more.
You learned to look back.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'd have whipped you like a youngin'.
We was on Lake Hartwell. That song, he was like, and
they probably about knocked him out, dude.
He was sitting there, and he sat down on the cool, and he was like, he shakes his head, and he's like, dang, that thing's got a rattle in it. It's like, of course it does, man. So I had to clip. I had to take the doggone little needle nose pliers. I had to clip the whole crankbait away from the hooks. Snap the hooks, and he was like, I am not going to the hospital. I am not. He was like, do you realize, because Reggie McClendon worked at the plant, and he just had gave Reggie a hard time because Reggie's old lady hooked him at Lake Greenwood and went to the hospital. And he was like, he ragged him, and he was like, I will not go to the hospital. He said, you're going to cut these hooks out of my head. And so he would put ice on it. He was like, let me smoke a cigarette, and he'd hold ice on to it. And then he was like, I had to cut them apart. But this is what I had to do. This song has got a scalp like cow leather, like a cow hide or something. I had to pop the hook back through, snip the barb off, and pull the hook out.
In high school, I got a 1236 that we used to, man, we'd be four deep in this song sometimes, trolling motor, just putting around ponds, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Matt Burton hooked Earl with a crankbait in the head right here. But we didn't have no pliers to snip the hook. So instead of pushing it through and snipping the hook, we took a pocket knife and cut the skin. And just pulled the hook out.
We scalped him.
Dude, he still got a spot back there in his head where we done that.
And that's where a hook removed.
He's like, give it out! Get it out!
That's messed up.
But we'd hit each, man, I'd smack, that, I mean, that's a little boat.
Yeah,
you're going to
smack somebody
in,
with, yeah.
Because I'd smack people in the face with tails because they'd stand up while I'm in my back cast. I mean, it's a miracle we all didn't get hooked. But Earl, Matt might have got hooked one time. I don't remember. But I remember Earl catching that something right there in the top of his head.
Nick and Hunter Webb was at the river with Hunter's daddy one time pitching bucktails. They heavy, dude. And like he's cracking that thing and throwing it across there. And he cracked Hunter in the head with it, about knocked him the hell out. He laid in the bottom of the boat. He left. He made his mama beat him up there at the bridge.
I'm about to say, I bet he cried.
Yeah,
I bet he cried.
He laid in the bottom of the boat.
Hey, which one was the one that was making knives?
That's cold.
That's cold.
Okay.
He's in the Navy.
In the Navy.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get on into this episode, and we'll let y'all look. Well, we already into this episode, into this conversation with Will, who is an Arkansas fan,
LSU fan.
So he had a pretty cool, interesting story. Oh well, we'll get on into this, and hey, y'all get them dogs in the woods and happy hunting. How you doing?
Be doing better. We'd heard a bird this morning.
I got you. It's already in down there in Louisiana?
Well, they open youth season on a Friday this year, and normally it opens on Saturdays. We kind of got screwed over on that this morning. We had a plan for tomorrow, and I woke up this morning saying on Facebook where somebody shot a turkey in front of a kid. I almost commented on there and asked him, were you going to tell the game warden y'all was hunting the day before season open? Then I looked it up, and I was off on my dates.
All right. So,
how y'all this morning?
We up and about it. So, let's talk a little bit about coon hunting.
We ain't even got a dog right now. One my boy was hunting, he died back in August. And he placed in the top 100 with him in the world last year. And then he won Louisiana State Hunt with him. Or it's Louisiana Youth State Hunt, I'm sorry. But he's a pretty nice little hound, but right at the moment we waiting on getting one. I got a buddy of mine want me to be partners on one out of his male dog that's pretty nice.
What kind of dog is it?
Walker dog.
Is that all you ever hunted with?
Well, I had a blue tick one time. Well, I've had two blue ticks. Let me back up. I had one that was the best armadillo dog in the world. And then the second one I got was out of a stud dog, big stud dog out of Arkansas. And he whooped everything in my yard while I was going to work. And I called the guy that owned the stud dog that put me on the dog. I told him if he wanted him, he better have somebody pick him up before I got home the next morning. I said, when I got home, he was going to have lead poisoning. My kids were all young back then. I wasn't going to have a mean dog. But, oh boy, I had somebody come pick him up. Never heard nothing else about the dog. He had three coons, but he was too rough for me.
Well, when did you start coon hunting?
Let's see. Well, I had black and tan, half red bone when I was a kid that she would trick coons. I was probably 6, 7 years old. And then my dad, he's paralyzed on the right side, so we couldn't really do much coon hunting. When I got out of high school in 2001, I got into it pretty heavy. Lost a couple jobs over wanting to coon hunt 7 days a week.
I hadn't ever lost any jobs over it, but I come close one time. The job I'm at now, I actually got put on attendance probation when I first started because I was coon hunting. Well, I had already been there about a year and a half, but I was trying to coon hunt, work third shift at the same time.
Right.
I was trying to coon hunt and be at work by midnight.
I was building houses, and I thought I could coon hunt from the time it got dark till daylight and then still make it work. That didn't work out in my favor. I lost two different jobs like that. I kind of, at that time, I enjoyed coon hunting more than I did working, which still do, but I've grown up since then. But, no.
What you
first
doing?
Dog I ever, sir?
Go ahead.
First dog I ever owned after I got out of high school was a Freeman Walker. He was, if I'd have known what I had then, like what I know now, I'd actually been going to some competition hunts. That was the most accurate coon dog I've ever owned. I got him from an old man. I just, back then, you went coon hunting, you followed him to the tree, and went in there, shot the coon out to him, you cut him back loose, went to the next tree, and shot the next coon out. I didn't know what I had back then.
I'm sorry, man. I was taking a sip of my drink real quick. I thought I had timed it better when you started talking. I was like, I got time to take a sip of my drink, and I didn't. That didn't work out too good for me.
Not bad.
Well, I don't know why we asked the guy last night. I'll ask you ever been squirrel hunting with dogs?
Yeah, I had a half black and tan, half lab when I was probably 11, 12 years old. You tree squirrels with him just about all day. But, he was pretty nice, but since then I ain't been with one. I got a buddy of mine that he hunts with that Shane Mason and them. He's been threatening to come over here and hunt over here around the house. We got a lot of squirrels where I deer hunt at. And I just ain't seen it. He ain't showed up over there.
It seems to be really popular down there in that part of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, them Mason boys, they got some pretty nice dogs. They hunt with old Hildebrand and them.
I don't know who that is, but I have heard that name somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, Shane Mason won one of them world squirrel hunts last year. You know, they got like 15 of them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what, Showstopper or?
Yeah, that Showstopper line.
Yeah, Showstopper.
Yeah.
What are those, curs? Treating curs? Just curs?
If I told you, I'd be lying.
No, I was asking Dustin. I figure he.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know.
They hunt. I think they tree and curves. I think they got bird dog and all kind of stuff in them. They'll hunt whatever.
I know this is off topic, but I was talking to tell Dustin. I noticed the other day when I was looking at the UKC stuff, that world cur and feist hunts they had.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see them, Dustin?
I hadn't looked at them yet.
Oh, I looked just to see what breeds they were, and it was like most all of them were tree and curs on the cur side and tree and feist on the feist side.
Yeah.
But, well, man, tell me about this. You sent me a message a while back and was telling me that you cracked shots at something. So,
yeah.
Maybe, I don't know if you, tell us about it, then we'll ask questions after that.
What was going on? Riding around looking for, well, I knew the spot, but I was looking to see what the woods looked like where I was planning on going coon hunting that night. It was on a WMA that I hadn't been on in years. And I went easing down this road behind the dump. And as when I was with my first wife, I seen something out in the woods. I just stopped, truck, killed us. What the hell is that? She looked out there. She said, I don't know, but you need to go. I said, no, I'm finna find out what it is. It was standing behind a tree. It was kind of bobbing back and forth behind the tree looking at us. Well, I just eased the door open, grabbed my .22. Well, it took off running. Hang on, I got somebody pulling up. Anyway, I got out of the truck, and like I said, it was bobbing back and forth looking at us. It wasn't like huge like you always hear these people talking about, 7, 8 foot and all. This thing wasn't probably 6 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking when I got out of the truck, it was maybe a little honey bear or whatever like we got around here. And I eased around to the front of the truck. Well, this thing takes off running on 2 feet, not like a bear. So, well, .22, I have the whole 16 and one in the hole. I let him have every dang one of them, but never seen nothing else about it, but. Went out there and never found no blood. Went in there that night coon hunting, never heard nothing or anything, but never heard of nobody dying. So I guess it wasn't nobody in a suit. But.
Never heard anybody getting shot down there.
No.
Well, has there ever been like anybody, anything in your area or like surrounding area of like any stories or sightings or anything?
Yeah. I got an uncle of mine that was on that same WMA. It was back before it was actually a WMA. They was running dogs in there for deer. And there was three or four of them in the group of them that claimed they seen one. Right? I think it was one or two of them in that same bottom that morning while they was running dogs, that the dogs were running it from what the old timers were saying.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's the first time I'd heard of them, you know, dogs running them. But yeah, that was probably in the late 60s whenever that happened.
Wow.
Yeah. But still, that's interesting just to see something peeking behind one of them tree peepers, peeping behind the tree. And then could you tell as far as like color or anything like that?
It was a dark black color. And as far as features of the face or anything, I couldn't tell you none of that. But it was just real dark and hairy from what I could tell.
Okay. That's still
that's the only thing I've ever seen while hunting or anything. I ain't never had any encounters at night or anything like that while I was coon hunting.
You tree any coons at night?
Yes, we went in there that night, that first dog I was telling you about I had. That was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
We went in there and treated two or three in there that night with him, and I had a young dog that was she was 3 or 4 months old, maybe 3 months old. And same one crossed the road in there that night, turned her out on it. She running in there and got tree. And I never did find the coon on that one, but a little female there that I had then, she ended up being one of the top three dogs I've ever owned. I ended up selling her to a guy in Missouri. And his son won the youth handler showdown with her back when they used to have that. And I think it was last year, year four last, we went to Super Stakes and was hunting my male dog I had and run into the guy that had won that youth handler showdown with that little female.
Right.
And he was telling my boy, well, first off, I told him, I said, tell my boy how nice that prissy female was. And he told my boy that he won 30-something casts in a row with that dog. He said she was the most accurate female he had ever put a leash on.
But, wow.
Yeah.
I wish I could win 30 casts in a row with something.
Shoot. I wish I could win 2 casts in a row.
Me too.
I need to start on one first, though.
That
boy of mine, he won quite a bit with that little male dog we had. He won got in the final four, like 2 pro hunts with him. And like I said, the first year they done that RQE for PKC.
Right.
He doubled up over at Vicksburg, Mississippi. He doubled up the first night of it, and treed the only coons they looked at on both casts.
And, well, have you been eyeballing any certain particular line of walker dogs or any kind of hound dog in general? I reckon that you think you might be interested in when you decide to get another one.
Oh yeah, that's a male dog out of that Big Money. Mm-hmm. The dog's name's Money to Blow.
Okay.
He is throwing some real nice pups right now. Matter of fact, I believe the one that's leading the state of Louisiana right now is out of him.
In PKC?
Talking Penny. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then South Louisiana.
What did you say that dog's name is?
The one that's leading the state or the
leading the state?
Male dog, the stud dog. Slow Talking Penny.
Okay. Slow Talking. Yeah. That makes me think it's got some Mike Carroll stuff in it.
I don't think she has any Mike. I think that's just what Corey, the guy that owns her, I think that's kind of what he has on his kennel name also.
All right.
I think most of his dogs, that's what he goes off, Slow Talk or whatever. But yeah, that's what he named her anyway. I know that. But I believe she's number one in the state right now. I've got several more that's doing a lot of winning out of that dog, too.
I hadn't paid that much attention, but I hadn't really been looking at the Big Money and the Money line of dogs. I hadn't, other than what I see Kevin Cable and them put on Facebook, other than that, right. I hadn't really paid that much attention to them.
Yeah.
But
I think I got around here. when I cast around where we live at, you got to have a pretty nice hound.
Is there a lot of water down there?
At times. Right now, we got a lot of water. We've been getting a lot of rain the last couple weeks.
I guess that goes without saying, you're an LSU fan, right?
Yeah, right. I'm a Razorback fan.
A Razorback?
Yeah. I lived in Arkansas for a while, and old man I coon hunted with up there one got me in competition hunting. He was the most diehard Razorback fan you ever seen. And he got me on them hogs. I've been a Razorback fan now for about 20 years.
Oh. I'm a Gamecock.
I watched them beat LSU last night.
But, yeah. Well, man.
You're a Gamecock fan.
Absolutely.
We'll be killing any folks there.
Yeah. That's all right. One day.
LSU,
do what now?
I'd rather be a Gamecock fan than an LSU fan.
I can agree with that. But, well, man, we're going to we'll let you go because I know that dude told you there was a gobbler hollering back behind his house. I don't know if you want to go get on that or not. I don't want to hold you up too long.
Nah, I think we're going to go find something to eat. He's got to be at the ball field here shortly, so.
Right.
Kind of pressed on time on our hunt for today. Yep. That's all we've been doing. He's playing freshman, JV, and varsity. So every time they have a ball game, he's there.
What position does your son play?
Center field. And they had him at shortstop. He ain't played shortstop 2 or 3 years, and they had him at shortstop, then moved him to center field. He's fast as grease lightning, so. I guess they finally realized they need him in outfield but more.
Yep.
Well, man, I hope y'all enjoy it and y'all have a good time. And we appreciate you getting on the phone with us. And
oh, yeah.
And I'll let you know when this is going to come out, all right?
All right. If you ever end up over here around Louisiana, holler at me. I'll take you in there where Supreme's at.
All right.
Maybe I'll have to hunt by then. If not, you can go with that money to blow dog I was telling you about, that stud dog.
Sounds good.
All right, y'all have a good day.
All right, you too.
You too, man. Appreciate it.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Coon Hunting Confidentials on the Houndstooth Podcasting Network. If you want to get in touch with me, my email address is htpodinfo@gmail.com. That is htpodinfo@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you with all your coon hunting stories that include the creepy, crazy, and the unexplained. Until next time, keep them dogs in the woods and happy hunting, y'all.